alumni here, 10 a.m. I'm not sure what day it is anymore.
January
8th. Day after the apocalypse. It did not happen. Let's begin.
Now we're on record, so that's pretty good. Yeah. I hope so. Okay. Okay, so the truth is, I was thinking about what kind of share should I give. Should I give a wellness share? Should I give a share of the parasha? It's probably going to be not so lumpish. I was looking through the parasha, I didn't find so much lumpish in the parasha. But okay, we'll do like this. I'll share with you a few very nice divrei Torah in the parasha, and then maybe we'll discuss one inyan. See how much time we have. Okay. So very briefly, just to be yotze the lumpus. The brisker Torah. In this week's parasha, so we have Yaakov Avinu right before he passes away. He calls in Yosef and he gives Yosef a bracha. He gives his children a bracha. So first of all, in Perek Manches. So when Yosef comes and brings his children to Yaakov Avinu, so the pasuk says, "Vayivarchem b'yamu leimar b'choy yivarch Yisrael leimar yisimcha l'kim k'efrayim chemenashe v'yosem es efrayim l'fnei menashe." Right. So it says that Yaakov gave a bracha to Yosef's children, and he said the bracha b'choy yivarch Yisrael. The Jewish people will use Menashe and Ephraim as a source of blessing. Klal Yisrael in all generations, this is the classical bracha that the father gives his children Friday night. Grandparents give their children, Yisimcha l'kim k'Ephraim l'Menashe. You should grow up to be like Ephraim and Menashe. So this is actually a famous pshat. Maybe you heard it already, but we'll just say it anyway. That I once heard from Rav Huttner, but I think I heard other people say it too. Why specifically are Ephraim and Menashe singled out? Why are they singled out? Why are they the ones to, for all generations, when a father gives his children a bracha Friday night, he gives a bracha, you should grow up to be like Ephraim and Menashe. I mean, after all, they weren't from the Bnei Yaakov, weren't the children of Yaakov, weren't Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov either, neither of us. Rashi in Chumash in Lech Lecha, Rashi says in the pasuk, "Becha yivarech, so v'yivrechu becha kol gaya yaretz." Right, Avraham Avinu was told by Hashem, "V'nivrechu becha kol gaya yaretz," that all the nations of the world will be blessed because of you. Rashi brings down a pshat that not only will they be blessed because of you, but all people will give blessings to their children. You should be like Avraham Avinu. You should be like Avraham Avinu. So why don't we have that custom? Most people. My father happens to, he gives me a bracha Friday night. So he gives me a bracha. You should be like Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. And yeah, it's not a simple thing like Menashe. But the general minhag is just to give a bracha for Ephraim and Menashe. What's so special about Ephraim and Menashe? Why are they the ones that we single out to give a bracha to our children? So the famous answer that Rav Huttner gave is the following. Anyone want to give an answer? You heard this question before?
I heard the question. I've also heard many answers, but I can't remember.
You heard many answers. Okay, so Rav Huttner said the following.
He lived in the first generation at Ecolus.
Excellent! Said Rav Huttner. Pshat is that Menashe and Ephraim, they didn't grow up in Yaakov Avinu's household. They weren't in that closed environment, the protective environment of Yaakov Avinu. Menashe and Ephraim, they grew up in Egypt, and they grew up not stam in Egypt. They grew up in the palace of the king, in the halls of government. They grew up mamish at the highest point of Egyptian society. And yet, Yaakov Avinu says to Yosef, Har Yisrael is Bnei Yosef. Vayomer Mi'ela. Yisrael. Yaakov Avinu sees the children of Yosef. Pasuk Ches. Parakam Ches. Pasuk Ches. Vayomer Mi'ela. He says, who are these children? Vayomer Yosef. Elaviv Bonayem. Asher Nosan Li. Likim Bazeh. Vayomer Kochim No'alai Vavorachim. So he says, let me bless them. And then it says, it says here, in this Pasuk, earlier it says va'ata shnei bonecha hanodim l'cha be'eretz Mitzrayim, pasuk hey, your two children that were born to you in Egypt before I came down, before I arrived, lihem, Yaakov says they are mine. They're considered like the other Shvatim. They'll get a portion of Eretz Yisrael. Ephraim u'Menashe kiruvein v'shimayin yuli. Says Yaakov Avinu, Ephraim and Menashe are the same to me as Reuben and Shimon. They're like my two oldest sons. So Rav Hunter explained that the pshat is, what Yaakov Avinu was saying is that what you achieved, Yosef, is that you were able to transmit the Mesorah so completely and to educate your children in such a way that they're as if they're my own sons, as if they grew up in my house. They're mamish like the Shvatim. So said Rav Hutner, that's the pshat why we single out Menashe and Ephraim. Bracha that a father gives his children Friday night. You should grow up to be like Menashe and Ephraim, that you should be zocha to receive the Mesorah completely and to have the complete tradition and hold on to it in all circumstances, even if you're growing up and you're going to be in a different society or a different environment than I'm in. That's the bracha that the father is giving the children. You should have that koach, the koach of Menashe and Ephraim, of being able to absorb and have the entire Mesorah, the entire tradition. Now it should be exactly like the Shvatim and Yaakov Avinu, even though they grew up in a completely different setting. That's a famous pshat. Now, continuing on along over there, it says at the end of that parak, that parasha, Vanino sati l'cho shchem echor ha'achecho asher lakachti miyad ha'emori b'charbi b'kashti. Yaakov Avinu says that I give to Yosef an extra portion. Right? You're going to have now two tribes come out of you. Ephraim and Menashe are going to be two tribes. And I'm giving you also, Rashi explains, the city of Shechem, asher lakachti miyad ha'emori, that I conquered from the Amorim, b'charbi u'b'kashti, using my sword and my bow and arrow. So the Targum Unklus says over here, correct, there are two expressions of Tfila. Targum says, Bitzlusi uvivausi. What's the difference between Tzlusi and Vausi?
One works in the other part when you have direct.
Yeah, you have direct like the bow because it's a personal Tfila.
Excellent. Did David quote this? Or just
how refreshing.
Exactly. Did he tell you who says this pshat?
Targum Unklus.
Who's the pshat in Targum Unklus? But what are the two types of tefillah? Very good. So there are two types of tefillah. Very good. The brisker up.
Yeah, should have guessed.
Brisker up. Said pshat. That there are two types of tefillah. There's a tefillah which is a kavua tefillah, fixed tefillah.
That's like a sword,
like Shmoneh Esrei, established by the Anshei Chassidus. Fixed tefillah. And then there's the tefillah, which is a personal bakasha, personal request. That's totally in how you direct it, like a bow and arrow. Okay, that was the Yotze of the Lumbus. Okay. Now, continuing in Parak Mem Tes, these are the psukim that I want to concentrate on a little bit more. And then maybe there's some other very, very beautiful stuff in this week's parasha. Beautiful terrors. But in Parak Mem Tes, Pasuk Yud Gimel, this is already on your sheet. So there are two psukim. Zevulun l'chayf yamim yishkayim. Says Zevulun his portion will be on the ocean side. V'hu l'chayf on Neos. He's going to be involved with shipping, with boats, with business. V'yarkisoy al tzidayim. And he'll reach up to Sidon. Yisachar Chamor Goyrein, Yisachar is like a donkey that is laden with a heavy load. Roivetz Bein HaMishpasayim, who is like squatting between the paths. Vayar Menucha, Yisachar saw tranquility, kitayv, that's very good. Ve'esa oretz kina ema, and the land is pleasant. Vayet shichmai lisboil, so he bent his shoulder to carry the burden. Vayhila mas oived, and he was like a worker who was taxed. That's the basically literal translation of the pasuk. So Rashi here says, famous Rashi, l'chof yamim. First of all, the question Rashi is a little bit bothered by is what's the juxtaposition between the bracha of Zevulun and the bracha that was given to Yisachar? What's the connection between these two brachas? And why does Zevulun come before Yisachar? Who was older?
Yisachar.
Yisachar was older. Where's that? So why is Zevulun's bracha first? Why is Zevulun's bracha first? So Rashi doesn't directly address it, but we'll try to address it in this shir. Rashi says, quotes Medrash, Gemara. Gemara says that Zvulun was involved in business. Shehoya Zvulun, the second line in the Rashi, in the middle. Shehoya Zvulun oisik b'prakmatia. Zvulun was involved in business dealings. Umamtzi mazoin, and they gave food l'shevet Yisachar, to the tribe of Yisachar. V'hei moiskim b'tayra. And Yisachar, they were involved in the study of Torah. So they had a relationship. They had like they had an arrangement that Zvulun was the businessman and Yisachar was the kolal guy. He was sitting and learning. Husha Omar Moshe, and this is alluded to in the pasuk in Dvarim, Smach Zvulun b'tzei secha v'Yisachar b'yalecha, that Moshe Rabbeinu gives the bracha and the shira. He says Smach Zvulun b'tzei secha, Zvulun, you should rejoice when you go out. In other words, when you go out to do business, and Yisachar is going to be in the tent, sitting and learning. Right? Zvulun yoytzeh b'prakmatya, Zvulun goes out to do business, Yisachar oisik b'Torah b'yohol. And Yisachar is involved in the study of Torah. So we have here this relationship between Zvulun and Yisachar, that Zvulun is involved in business, and Yisachar is involved in learning Torah. This is right, this is very, everyone knows this is what's called a Yisachar Zvulun relationship. Right? You have some people, they take out ads in like, you know, the English Hamodia. I've seen this ad this a few times. English Hamodia is like, you know, a Haredi English newspaper. It says like, you know, looking for a Zvulun. I'm looking for a Zvulun. Looking for his love. So, you know.
It's like the single section, like the Jewish thing.
Right, looking it's for a single.
Young 54 male looking for his love.
Exactly. So let's examine a little bit. Okay, I didn't go through this whole sugya very, very thoroughly, and I can't say that I'm not misholding all the Makaris well, but I'll give you a lot of the Makaris on the sheet, so we'll try to do some of it together, do some of it on your own. Some of the inyanim in the, you know, in this relationship of Yisachar Zvulun, just by, you know, you should know that I copied from Ramesh's tshuva in the Igros Moshe. Ramesh has a tshuva in the last volume of Igros Moshe about the different aspects of the Zvulun Yisachar relationship. The tshuva is approximately 20 pages long. So it was a little bit big. We didn't have that much time to go through the whole thing. But he discusses different things. Do they have to split 50-50? If you are Yisachar, do you lose out in your own schar by giving it to Zvulun? Is this considered tzedakah or is it a separate din? Okay, we'll try to talk a little bit about some of those issues. What about if the Talmid Chacham is rich? Can you still make a Yisachar Zvulun with him? There's different issues. How much learning? Is it the quantity, the quality? A lot of different issues. Ramesh is a big tshuva. It's probably, you know, could die to go through it. Anyway, So the halacha, in terms of halacha l'maisa, is quoted here in Shulchan Aruch in Simin Reish Mem Vav Sif Katan Aleph. In Simin Reish Mem Vav Sif Aleph, there's a very interesting mechaber. Okay, the mechaber writes, says the mechaber, Kol Ish Yisrael Chayiv B'Talmud Torah. Every single Jew is obligated to learn Torah. Every Jew is chayiv to learn Torah. Beinoni, Beinoshir, whether he's rich, whether he's poor, Bein Shalem Begufo, whether he's healthy, Bein Bal Yisurim, whether he's a person who unfortunately has different ailments and he's suffering, Bein Bachur, whether he's a young guy, Bein Zakin Gadol, whether he's old, he's obligated to study Torah every day. Afilu Ani, Amachazel Apsachim, even if he's a poor person, and he has to go around begging for charity, Afilu Bal Yishuv Banim, even if he's married and he has responsibilities, says the Mechaber, Chayev L'Kvayu L'Izman L'Talmud Torah B'Yom B'Layla. No matter what your situation is, you're Chayev to designate times to learn daily, in the morning and at night. You have to learn two periods during the day. You have to learn either, I mean not either, you have to learn both in the morning and at night. Shenemar V'Gisa B'Yom B'Layla. Says the Mechaber further, U'B'Shas Hadchak, if you're mamish, you know, stressed out, you have no time whatsoever, Afilu Loi Kor, Akriyash Mashachas V'Arvis, Loi Amush M'Picho Karinun Be. If you only recite a Kriyashma in the morning and night, so that's like B'Dievet Sh'B'Dievet, most minimal thing of fulfilling the Pasuk, Loi Yomush Shateres M'Picho Kargis V'Yom V'Layla, is that you say Kriyashma twice a day. Says the Rambam further, U'Mishe Yevshul, I'm sorry, not the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch, Mechaber. Says in Shulchan Aruch, Umisha Yevshaloi Lilmoid, Ipnesha Eni Yedek Chla Lilmoid. Let's say you have a person who can't learn because he doesn't know how to learn. He never got any education or he's so preoccupied with other things that he can't learn at all. Bechla, says the Mechaber, Yaspik La'acherim Aloindim. So then, what should he do, this guy? He should give money, he should support people who do learn. He should support a yeshiva, he should support people that are studying learning. Says the Ramah, Hagah v'techashev loy ki'ilu loymin ba'atzmoy. Says the Ramah, according to the Torah, that if you support people that are learning, if you yourself can't learn, and you support people that are learning, it's considered as though you are learning yourself. Says the Ramah further, V'yachol Adam lahasnos in chaveiro, a person can make a condition, he can draft an agreement with his friend, shehu yasok b'Torah, that his friend will sit and learn, v'hu yamsi loy parnasa, and the other guy is going to support him, v'yachloik imo yascha, and they'll divide together the reward. You get a portion of your reward. Avalim kvar osak batayra, but says the Rama, if a person already learned Torah, eino yocho limkar lo chelko b'shvil mamin sheyitin loy. You can't sell someone your portion of Torah for money. Says the Rama, there's a din here, this lechara, this relationship, right, of Yisachar Zvulun that we have in this week's parasha, that there's Yisachar Zvulun. The Zvulun, that's the businessman, he's providing the means to enable Yisachar, the guy sitting and learning, to be able to continue to learn. So the Ramah says like this, the Ramah says that when you support people that are learning Torah, it's considered as though you yourself are learning. It's considered as though you yourself are learning. And then the Ramah goes on to say that when you make such an arrangement, the arrangement only works if you make a condition that I'll give you money so that you learn and you give me back schar. I get a chelik of schar in your learning, says the Ramah. That's only possible if we make this deal concerning future learning, what we're going to learn in the future. But I cannot give you money in order to acquire a schus, to acquire the merits of the learning that you did in the past. Yeah? Avalim kvar osak b'Torah, says the Ramah. If you already learned the Torah, in the past. You can't sell him. Can't sell him for the few for money a schus in that learning that you already did. So what's the pshat in this halacha? What's the pshat in this din that you can only make a deal about the future? You can't make a deal about the past. What's the pshat in that halacha? So the Bir Agra here, Bir Agra, he brings down some of the midrashim here about this Yisachar Zvulun, also on this week's Pasha, like Rashi quoted. And the Gra here a little bit addresses why is Zvulun mentioned first? Why is Zvulun mentioned first? Okay? Says the Gra, Bebracious Rabbah, Beperek Tzadik Tes, Zvulun Mechayf Yamim Yishkaim. Right? In this week's parasha, the Medrash says on the pasuk that Zvulun is going to, his portion is going to be on the ocean side. It says, Harei Zvulun Koydim Li Yisachar. The Medrash says, we see that Zvulun comes before Yisachar. V'lamakein. Why is Zvulun in fact mentioned before Yisachar? Ela Shahoya Zvulun Oisik V'Pakmatya V'Yisachar Oisik V'Tayro Zvulun Bo Ma'achiloi. Because Zvulun was doing business. Yisachar was learning. And Zvulun would come and bring them food and help the people in Yisachar to continue to learn that way. Lefichach kadmo alav hakasuv. Therefore, the Torah proceeded to mention Zvulun before Yisachar. Amar hakasuv alav amar hakasuv. And about Yisachar, about Zvulun, it says Eitz chayim hi lamachazikim ba. That this is the tree of life for those that support it. For those that support Torah. Right, he quotes the Medrash further down, Vayikra Rabba, Perek Chof Hei, Eitz Chaim Hi L'Machazikim Bo, says the Medrash, Ilu Nemar Eitz Chaim Hi L'Amelim Bo. If it would say Eitz Chaim Hi L'Amelim Bo, so then we would learn that when is the Torah Tree of Life that you get a Chelik of Olam Haba? Only if you learn Torah, you're Amal and Torah, you yourself are learning. But the fact that it says Eitz Chaim Hi L'machazikim ba, that it's a tree of life for those that support it. So we see that even if you're just supporting Torah, you have this chus that you're going to get the shade of the tree, so to speak. Oser HaKadosh Baruch Hu lasis tzel v'chup l'vali mitzvah seitzel b'nei HaTorah began Eden, that Hashem will make a canopy for those who do mitzvahs next to the people that learn in Gan Eden v'islan gimel karyen chodu kibitzel v'chulei etc. Shimon Achi Azariah Omer Mishmoy Vali Shimon Achi Azariah Vali Shimon Achi Golden Azariah the Kavos was Zvulun Omer Smach. Okay, so the Gra quotes different Ma'amar Chazal. So we hear what we see in the Medrash says, what's the reason that Zvulun comes before Yisachar? It's because Zvulun, they're the ones that were providing support to enable Yisachar to learn. They're going to get a Chelik Mevah. But still, we need to understand what's the Pshat in the Ramah. The Ramah says you can only make this deal on the future Torah that you're going to learn, not about past learning that you've done. So they explain the following. There's a Gemara in Saita, right after the Gra. Gemara in Saita quotes a pasuk in Shir HaShirim. It says, it doesn't have the whole pasuk here on the page, but the pasuk says, "In Yitain Ish es Kol Haim Beisai Bais Yavaisulai." It says if a person will give away all the money of his house, we'll basically degrade him. We'll be mevachel him. So what is that talking about?
Give away all his money?
Yeah. In Yitei Nish, it's called Hain Beisai, Bais Yavaisulai. If a person gives away, actually the full pasuk is, in Yitei Nish, it's called Hain Beisai, Biahava. If a person gives away all of his money, Biahava, out of love, Bais Yavaisulai. So what is this pasuk talking about? So the Gemara says like this: Amar Ula, like Shimon Achi Azariah, v'like Rabbi Yochanan the Ben Nesia, Elo Kehilo v'Shavna. When do we say that if you give away your money, so we're mevaza you? You gave away your money out of love. We're mevaza you. Bais Yavaisulai. That's concerning a situation which is different then Shimon, the brother of Azariah, and Yochanan, the son of the Nasi. But rather, this is like Hillel and Shavna. The Chiyosa Ravdimi Omar, Ravdimi came and he said, Hillel and Shavna, Achi Havu. Hillel and Shavna were both brothers. Hillel Osik Betoiro, Hillel sat and learned. Shavna Ovadiska. Shavna went into business. L'soif Omalei, later he said, Shavna said to Hillel, Ta Naroi V'Lifloi, let's make a deal and split. I'll give you money, I'll give you my money, I'll give you half my profits, and you give me half your schar. Yotzis Abasko V'Omra, Abasko came out and said, this pasuk in Shir HaShirim, Yitei Nishis Kol Hoin Beisel Yahava, boys, your boys will love it. If a person will give away all of his wealth out of love, we'll degrade him, we'll be mavazah him. So the Gemara says that there was a difference between Hillel and Shavna. Hillel and Shavna, Shavna wanted to support Hillel, but he's basically not looked upon so highly. Boys, your boys will love it. This is the pasuk that Basko said. If a person gives away all his money out of love, he's degraded. We'll be mavazah him, we'll make fun of him. And on the other hand, we have Shimon Achi Azariah. The Gemara says there was an Amora whose name was Shimon, and he's always called in Shas Shimon, the brother of Azariah. Why is he called Shimon, the brother of Azariah? So here Rashi brings down to Mishnah in the beginning of Svachim. Rashi says, why was he called Shimon, the brother of Azariah, even though really he was more chashuv, Shimon. He was the Talmud Chacham. But the reason is, since he was only able to learn through the fact that Azariah was supporting him, so the learning that he did, all of his Torah is called on his brother's name. His brother is associated with his brother. His brother gets the credit. Right? That's what Rashi says. Tana hu b'mishnu kanaisim v'svachim v'lomad Torah yidei ochim shei yoisef matya. Also, Rabbi Yochanan, the Bay Nasi, who's called the Rabbi Yochanan from the house of the Nasi. Why is he called Rabbi Yochanan the house of the Nasi? Because he was only able to learn through the support of the Nasi. So, Lucharu is a little difficult. What's Pshat in the Gemara in Saita? What's the difference between Hillel and Shavna and Shimon Achi Azariah? What's the difference between the two of them? Chayra, they both were supporting. They both wanted to support Torah. So what should be the problem? So Minchas Asher, Rav Asher Weiss, Shlita. You heard of him, Rav Asher Weiss? Gaon. Rav Asher Weiss, big guy. He lives here in Yerushalayim. There's many shiur all over, attracts hundreds of people. So he suggests that l'chayro, we could say that the Ramah is based on this Gemara. The Ramah that says it's a difference between giving away your future learning and giving away your past learning. Maybe the Ramah's source is this Gemara in Saita. The Gemara in Saita says we have two stories. We have the story of Hillel and Shavna. We have the story of Yisachar Zvolun, Shimon Achi Azariah, Rabbi Yochanan the Bein Nasiya. Some of these characters we look at in a positive light. No, there is not such a positive light. Boizu. So what's the difference? So says Rav Asher Weiss that the difference is, it depends, what was the deal? Is the deal on past learning? Or is the deal on future learning? I'm going to support you so that you'll be able to learn. If I'm supporting you so that you'll be able to learn in the future, so then that's Yisachar Zvulun, that's good. Then you get the schar of the learning that was done. But if you come over to a guy who sat and learned 20 years in yeshiva and you say, okay, you know what? I want to buy your learning that you did for the last 20 years, so that's no good. So Shavna, apparently, was telling Hillel, I want to learn, I want to acquire the learning that you've done. So he quotes that Reb Shlaima Kluger, I don't know if we ever had him last year. Reb Shlaima Kluger, in the Tshuvas Tam V'Das, Shuvas Tuv Tam Vadas, he says that he's not on the sheet. No, we're going to get to the Maram al Shaker, the Afnis Reichel, the Beis Yosef, but the Reb Shlomo Kluger in the Shuvas Tam Vadas, and I don't think they had it in the Bar Ilan. He says, he says like this. He says that he suggests this. Also, I think he suggests this pshat. That the difference, the pshat in the Gemara is that one is talking about buying past learning. One is talking about making a deal that I want to get schar in your future learning. So says the Reb Shlomo Kluger that based on this, we can also answer perhaps why Zevulun is mentioned first. He says, why is Zevulun mentioned first in the Torah? Because Zevulun is the one that's got to shell out first. It doesn't work that the Talmud Chacham says, okay, I'm going to give you my learning. And then Zevulun says, okay, I'm going to give you money. Because that's what the Ramah Paskins. You can only make a deal about future learning. So Zevulun, he's the one that's got to pay out first. He's got to shell out the cash. And then you can have a chelik in the future learning that this Talmud Chacham is going to learn. So Shlomo Kluger says that that's maybe why in the Torah Zevulun is mentioned first. Right? So the Medrash says Zevulun is mentioned first because he supports Yisachar. So to show that Eitz Chaim and Machazikim Bo, the significance of those that support Torah, Zevulun is mentioned first. Shlomo Kluger says it's more than that. It's that Zevulun is the one that always has to pay you out first because you can't buy past learning.
So
that's the remez. It's a remez in the Torah that he, in this relationship, he's first got to, you know, step up to the plate, and then we can have a relationship. That's what Shlomo Kluger's pshat. So, but he wants to discuss over here what's the whole his whole shtickle is from the sefer Minchas Asher, which is a very very nice sefer on all of Chumash. Basically works that he has different like topics, halachic topics that relate to the parsha, and he has a discussion, different sugyas, quotes a lot of stuff, and he has in the back like machshavim, musar. So he brings down like this. He wants to Minchas Asher, Rav Asher Weiss suggests that there are three different ways how you can understand bechlal this halacha that the Ramah says, which is the din of Yisachar Zevulun, that if you support somebody learning, it's considered as though you yourself learned, and you get the schar of his learning. You get a portion of his learning. You get the reward of his learning. There's three ways how you can understand it. He says, either you can understand it, that it's not like a skula. It's a skula, you know, really what you're doing is tzedakah. You're giving tzedakah, just when you give tzedakah to a poor person, so you get schar for giving tzedakah. But here, when you give tzedakah to someone who's able to learn Torah, and you're enabling him to learn, so you get the reward of enabling someone else to learn Torah. So you get schar, additional schar, more than just stam, a regular mitzvah of tzedakah. You get additional schar that you are, in fact, enabling someone else to learn. You're facilitating extra Talmud Torah. You're increasing Talmud Torah. So that's why you get extra schar. That's one way how to understand this Yisachar Zevulun relationship. Another approach, he says, you can understand the Yisachar Zevulun relationship is that it's a formal kind of contract. It's an actual partnership. It's a partnership. Just like I can make a deal with you. You are my partner in business and we split the profits. We're partners. We're shutfim. So we're shutfim in this. We are partners in this endeavor. So he has not stand like a school of because I helped him learn, I get a chelik, but it's a real partnership. I have a real schus mamon, so to speak, in the schar of the learning. That's the second approach, and a third approach he suggests is that it's not that I have a schus to get your schar, but rather the actual learning is in my name. It's my learning, so to speak. It's not just that we have an arrangement, you learn and I get the reward because I'm helping support you. But when you're learning, it's considered that I'm a shutuf in the learning itself. I'm a shutuf in learning. These are three ma'alchim that he says, the Achrayim discussed over here regarding this relationship of Yisachar Zvulun. So he says that it seems to be a machlokas within the Achrayim.
What was the second one?
The second one is that it's mamash a business deal. It's that just like I can sell, say, we're both going to go buy a house together, I'm going to own it 50-50. So I make a deal with you that I'm giving you a kinyan in this reward. I'm giving you chelik of my reward. I can give you part of my reward. It's not that you're a shutuf in my learning. I'm giving you my reward. We make a deal on the reward. That's the second side. And the third side is that it's not that we're making a deal on the reward, but you're a partner in my learning. So maybe you get schar for that learning as if you yourself learned. It's your learning. It's not just my learning. It's your learning also. These are different approaches that he says that Achrayim have to understand this idea of Yisachar Zvulun. So the first source that he brings is the tshuva of the Maram al Shaker. The tshuva of the Maram al Shaker discusses, he says that there are people that they say, you know what, I'll sell you my schusim. I'll sell you my mitzvahs, my merits. So someone asked him a question, does that work? Is that really good? Does the seller lose out? Does it have any bearing whatsoever? Is that significant? So he says, this whole source I found for this is tshuva of Haigoin. For Isi lahat goyscha l'cho, misham tov and ikron shalvarim, shalu uzal, misha yinoi gosana sheni v'chamishi. It was a guy whose custom was to fast every Monday and Thursday. He said, the reward that I'm getting for this minute that I have of fasting every Monday and Thursday, I want to give away that reward to so-and-so as a gift. Or if he says, I'm going to sell it to so-and-so. And they made a kinyan. So does that work or not? So he says, tshuva, kach ro'inu kidvarim elu divrei hevel. He says, no, it's ridiculous. You can't do that. She'ein lismich aleim. Ve'eich yala aleiv kischore shel zeh shel maisim toivim she'os zeh lo zeh. How could you say, if I get schar, because I did a mitzvah, I did it myself, I can give away the schar to someone else who didn't do anything just because he pays me. I get schar because I'm doing a mitzvah. How can I just stop give away the schar to someone else? Ve'alei ha'kosev ha'imer, Sitka Satzadik Olav Tia. The pasuk says that the righteousness of a tzaddik goes to the tzaddik. And it says that if you're a Rasha, so you have to, you know, person is responsible for his own actions. How can it be that I give away schar for what I did to somebody else? This is just like I don't get punished for someone else's sins, so I can't get someone else's merits. Wait, he says schar considered something you walk around in your pocket? You just give it away? Give away schar? So he says, and no one knows what exactly the schar is. How are you going to put a price tag on it? You're going to put a price tag on the schar. So if you skip down a little further.
So take the first one.
Right, he says, so it's about two thirds of the way down. He says, when you sell your tainus, so you stam, you're a shaita. You're a shaita. It's nothing. So then he says, what about the fact that people give money, that we have halacha here in the Ramah, that you can give money to someone to learn, and you do get schar for his learning. You get schar, the Torah said, you get schar as though you yourself learned. So says the Maram al-Shaker, he says, Aval Vadai, like two-thirds of the way down, Misha noisin schar l'melame l'lmoy masha hen tzvichin, u'melamdin yesh lo schar godo l'kach. If you give money for people to learn Torah, so you get a lot of schar, that you're helping them do mitzvahs. You're helping them continue to learn. And he says, the Malame sometimes gets schar, sometimes he doesn't get schar. And the same thing, if you give money to a poor person, you get schar. So he says, that if you're selling, if you want to buy someone's schar, that's what the pasuk in Shir HaShirim is talking about. Isha Shigitin is kol haim beisoy boizya boizeloy. The Gemara in Saita that says that Hillel and Shavna doesn't work. That's because Shavna was trying to buy Hillel's schar. You can't buy someone's schar. But, says the Maram El Shakar, that when do we say that it is good and you do get a schar for helping somebody learn, like Shimon Achi Azariah and Yoichanan the Bein Nisiya, you get schar because of your efforts, this person was able to learn. But it's not that you actually have a claim on that schar. You get schar because as a result of what you did, he was able to learn. So you increased Talmud Torah in the world. So you get schar. So the Maram El Shaker says Rav Asher Weiss, learns like the first approach. That really, it's not a formal relationship, Yisachar Zvulun, a real partnership. When you are a Zvulun, if you're acting as a Zvulun, and you're giving somebody money, and because of what you did, he's able to learn, so you get schar because you helped him learn. But it's not an actual shutfus. It's not a real shutfus. That's the approach of the Maram El Shaker. But he quotes that the Beis Yosef and his Chuvis Afkis Reichel, so the Beis Yosef here says...
Never heard of this
meter. Never heard of Afkis Reichel. Yeah, okay, we didn't have it. You can add it to the list. So the Beis Yosef and the Chuvis Afkis Reichel, I never heard of this particular Chuvis. It's a very famous Chuvis in Afkis Reichel about buying... is the Kedushas Shvius on Peres Nachman. So the big machlokes between the Beis Yosef and the Mabit, which was relevant last year. And you have Peres Shvius. You have. We paskin like the Beis Yosef. The Minyan Yerushalayim is like the Beis Yosef that there is no Kedushas Shvius.
Yeah,
it's Chaz Nish.
Was that the whole? Is that the whole?
Yeah, that was.
Right.
Yeah, but. No, you could eat, just you have to make sure that it has Kedusha Shvius. You have to treat it, you know, with Kedusha Shvius. The Chazon Ish was machmir for the Mabit. And in Bnei Brak, many places outside Bnei Brak, people are machmir, that even on, you know, produce, which is... Yeah, Chazon Ish, he basically made Bnei Brak.
Oh, yeah.
He basically made it, yeah. So he's like the Posek. I mean, he's not alive anymore, but... His word goes right. So the Chazon Ish, he was machmir for them a bit that even on non-Jewish produce, you have to keep the Kedusha Shvius.
Do they still have an issue with Kedusha Shvius?
Yeah, so we still have it because fruit. There's a difference between fruits and vegetables. Vegetables are called svichim. The Kedusha, basically, vegetables grow very quickly, so the Kedusha goes when they're picked. But fruits depend on when they grow. We had in brachas actually a little bit. Yeah. Right. So fruits, all fruits, or a lot of fruit, could potentially have kedusha shvius.
Still.
Right. Because now the fruit that you're eating now is fruit that blossomed last summer or last winter.
Right.
So that stuff has Kedusha Shvius if it was owned by a Jew. If it wasn't, then that's the machlokes between the Beis Yosef and the Mabit.
Right.
So the Beis Yosef, though, here in the Tshuva Safkas Reichel, the Beis Yosef says that really, in order to have an arrangement of Yisachar Zvulun, there has to be a Tanai. There has to be that they made this stipulation. They made this condition like a contract. They made a real contract. It's not stam like tzedakah. You have to make a real tanai. That's what he brings down. That there has to be a real tanai. So you see from the Beis Yosef, he says that he holds that it's a real partnership. It's not just that since I'm.
Do you like a shtar?
What?
A shtar.
I don't think you need a shtar, but. He says the difference is that if you made it tonight in advance, then it works. That's the reason why Hillel and Shavna wasn't good was because it was after, like we said earlier, it was after the learning was already done. Then Shavna said he wants to have schar in Hillel's learning, so that doesn't work. But if you make a tenai in advance, it's a partnership, so then you get a schar in this person's learning. And he brings from Ramesha Feinstein also learns that it's regular, like, shutfus. You can make a shutfus together in terms of getting schar. It's not a din of tzedakah. This is on page 3. Page 3. It's a very, very long tshuva. I only photocopied, took out one part of it. But Ramesha says, Ramesha's medayik, that it's not just a din of tzedakah. Because if it was a din of tzedakah, so then it should have all the limitations of tzedakah. And it should be found in Hilchas Tzedakah. The Ramah brings this down in Hilchas Talmud Torah. This is a general din of Talmud Torah. It's not a din in Hilchas Tzedakah. So Ramesha says that really this is a real shutfus. It's a real partnership that Zvulun paid to get Shimon Schar, to get Yisachar Schar of learning. He says that's why the Ramah brings this down in Hilchas Talmud Torah, because really it's a din in Talmud Torah. Then he goes on and he says that what's the pshat? Why is this not a regular din of tzedakah? He says that that it's like a real kinyan, that they're paying money. Yeah, that's what it has to be, 50-50. But he has here, it's a very interesting discussion. He says, what's the pshat in this whole thing of Yisachar Zvul? Why is there this din of Yisachar Zvul? So he says, the reason is, this is on page 4, in the second paragraph from the top, he says, "B'kevun shebe'etzem mitzvus limud ha'tayra, tzarech kol echad ve'echad lilmoid ba'atzmai kol ha'tayra kula v'leida isa." Says Rav Moshe, there's a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. That mitzvah of Talmud Torah really requires that every individual should learn the entire Torah and know the entire Torah. Every person, every Jew, is chayv to learn kol ha'tayra kula. And he's medayik this from the Rambam. The Rambam says, "Aremasai chayav lumat Torah." Till when is a person chayav to learn Torah? Till the day he dies. And the Rambam brings a lav. You're not allowed to forget any part of Torah. And the Rambam says, if you're not learning, you're going to forget. So he says, Rav Moshe, so that's basically come out impossible. It's impossible for every person to learn kol haTorah kula. Even if you live a very long life, I mean, you got to, you know, you have to support yourself. You have to raise a family. It's not possible to learn kol haTorah kula. So how do you fulfill this requirement? If there's a requirement of learning kol haTorah kula, how do you fulfill that requirement? Every person is chayev to learn kol haTorah kula. He brings different proofs. Every person is chayev to learn kol haTorah kula. So how do you fulfill it? So says Rav Moshe, the way you could fulfill it is through having a Yisachar Zvulun relationship. If you'll be a Zvulun, and you'll make a deal with someone who's a Yisachar, someone really is going to become, you know, he's going to sit and learn, and going to devote his time to learning kol haTorah kula. So then you could be yotze your obligation of learning kol haTorah kula through having this Yisachar Zvulun relationship. So he says, but this is dafka when you make a tnai. In order for it to be chal, it's dafka with a tnai, because it's a formal relationship. But then, Vasha Weiss, he suggests this other tzad, that there's two ways how you can learn that it's a real shutfus. Is it just a shutfus in the schar, in the reward? Or is it an actual shutfus in the learning? He says, what would be a nafkamina? Nafkamina is, Ramesh speaks about this also, is that they chronim discuss, when you have a Yisachar Zvulun relationship, so let's say I'm the Yisachar and you guys are the Zvulun. So does that mean if I made a deal with you that I now gave away that schar, that I don't have it anymore, I lost it. I lose my schar. So he quotes that some achronim say that it's not that you lose the schar. He says that the Aruch Chaim says in Chumash that it's like lighting a candle. He says, just like when you take one candle and you use it to light a second candle, the first candle didn't lose any of the fire, so too the Yisachar, he doesn't lose anything. It's just he's able to give away his schar. He's able to make a deal that Zvulun should also get schar. So says Rasha Weiss that l'chora, that only makes sense if you learn like his tzad, like the third approach of how to understand the relationship of Yisrael Chesvola. Because if you learn like the first approach that you get schar because you stop getting schar because you're doing the mitzvah of tzedakah and you're helping me learn, so you get schar because you helped somebody learn, so then of course I don't lose out. You're getting a different schar. You're getting the schar of helping somebody learn. You're not getting the schar of my actual learning. But if you say like Rav Moshe that the pshat is the shutfus, that you get the schar of the actual learning, so then l'chora means I'm giving it away. It says Rashi Weiss, but if you learn the way he's explaining the third approach, that the pshat is it's not a shutfus of the schar, but rather it's a shutfus on the actual learning. This learning, we're partners in the actual learning. So then we could say that you're learning and I'm learning, so to speak. You're learning virtually and I'm learning, so I don't lose out my chelik of schar. You just also are getting schar right now because you're also virtually learning. So you're getting schar for learning right now. When you support somebody, you're getting schar for learning right now. So it's like two people are learning. It's like two people are learning. So these are some of the issues regarding the Yisachas. Well, it's very nice. Okay, I wanted to just, if I can indulge, have you for a few more minutes. Yeah. This tshuva from Amisha was written to Rav Simcha Soloveitchik from Brooklyn, who's alive today. He has a kolo, and he asked Rav Moshe this letter. How would you formulate? Like basically, give me the whole lowdown on Yisachar's vulin. How do you formulate an arrangement?
Do you do it on your own accord, or should you
probably should consult a Rav, because if you want to do it properly, you have to figure out how to do it. Okay, I didn't go through, again, it's literally this tshuva is a 20-part tshuva from a Mishnah. Each part is at least a page. It's about a 20-page tshuva. Yeah, it's about 20 pages, maybe a little more. So it's involved issue. Okay, now the second half of this pasuk that we have here on the sheet, just continue a little bit, now we'll go a little more to machshava, musar, philosophical part of this pasuk. The pasuk continues and says about Yisachar. It says that Yisachar is like a ox who's carrying a heavy burden, who saw tranquility and the land that's good, and gave its shoulder to carry the burden. So what is this talking about? Vayar menucha kitayv. So there's a question. What is vayar menucha kitayv? Rashi says, vayar menucha kitayv, he saw that he had a good chelik in Eretz Yisrael, that he has a portion in Eretz Yisrael that produces a lot of fruit. So he said, okay, I'm going to sit and learn. Vayhi lamas oved, and he's going to carry the responsibility of teaching Torah. But Yisachar, Rashi quotes a pasuk in Devar Hayomim and says, "Mivnei Yisachar yoyde bina le'itim," that the people from Yisachar, they knew the most complicated parts of the sugyas of Kiddush HaChodesh, very very difficult parts of Torah. They were the experts, so they were involved in learning. So what exactly is the pasuk mean? It says, "Vayar menucha kitayv," he saw that the good life, tranquility, good, so it gave its burden, it lent its shoulder to carry the burden. So I want to share two different ideas here. Rav Baruch Simon Shlita, in his Sefer Imrei Baruch, has a beautiful shtickle here in Maimer Beis about Yisachar. This is something else though. The Imrei Baruch, so Rav Simon brings down that the Medrash says that Vayar Menucha, not like Rashi, what I just gave you is a shtickle from Rabbi Rukin, that's coming up. But right now we have Rabbi Simon. Rabbi Simon brings that, the Medrash says, Vayar Menucha ki toiv refers to Torah. Because it says about Torah, ki lekach toiv nosati lochem. So when it says, Vayar Menucha ki toiv, it says, Yisachar saw how great it is to study Torah. So therefore Yisachar undertook this burden of being totally involved in learning. So he says, why was Yisachar so successful? So he brings a medrash that says that Yisachar had tremendous avas haTorah. Yisachar had tremendous love of Torah. The medrash says that all the Nesiim brought karbanos, and they had different things in mind. Even though they brought the same carbon, right? In Parshas No, so they brought the same carbon, but each person had a karas, kesef, achas, etc. Shloshim.
They're all different, though.
But they had different kavanas, different intentions. So the Medrash says that Yisachar's kavana was about the Torah, and to honor the Torah. Because Yisachar, they had tremendous avas haTorah. So he says, you see that Yisachar, the reason they were zoche is because of their avas haTorah. That's the schus of Yisachar. And that's what it means here in the pasuk, Vayar menucha ki Torah. They saw that learning Torah is great! So they said, okay, we're going to do it. Now, Rabbi Rucham has a meiridik b'shtikl here. This, what I just gave you now, is from the Sefer Das Torah, from Rabbi Rucham, Rabbi Rucham of Lovitz, Mashgiach of the Mir. So he says like this. He says, it's good idea, hold on to it and read it inside. We don't have time to read the whole thing right now, but Rabbi Rucham says like this. He says, you know, the world asks a question. Why is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah to Bnei Yisrael in the desert, in the Midbar? After all, it would seem much more appropriate for the Torah to be given in Eretz Yisrael. Right? You know, Ramban says that the main place for keeping the Torah is in Eretz Yisrael. So why did Hashem give Bnei Yisrael the Torah in Eretz Yisrael? That's where they should have received the Torah. So says Rabbi Rucham that the pshat is that the reason the Torah was given in the desert is to teach us a very important lesson for a person's life. He says that on the one hand, to be able to learn Torah properly, to understand the sugya, to be able to go through things, a person needs tranquility, he needs calmness, he needs the ability to be able to focus. If there's a lot of things going on, there's stress in his life, so it's very difficult to learn, right? I'm sure you guys, now that you're on the other side of the fence, so you have other things to juggle. You're not in Shana Aleph and Yeshiva without any other worries other than, you know, the intramurals and the games Matzah Shabbos. You know, but you have to worry about real things. You have to worry about classes and reports and all kinds of stress, family obligations, social obligations. There's a lot of, you know, competition for your mind to be able to learn, right? So a person thinks to himself, I can't learn now. It's not shayach for me to learn now, because to really learn, you need to have menucha sanefesh. You need menucha. You need to be in Israel. You got to be away from everything. No distractions. You have menucha, right? Then you can learn. So like the pasuk starts off here, vayar menucha kitayiv. Yisachar saw that menucha, tranquility, is good. It's good for learning. So what's the pshat? So says Rabbi Rucham, this is in the second paragraph, he says, to address this point, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Bnei Yisrael the Torah and the Midbar. If you want to know what real menucha is, you learn it from Matan Torah. Matan Torah teaches us what is the approach a person has to have when it comes to learning, what's considered menucha, and what's the mentality that you have to have. So he says, people make a very big mistake when they think about menucha. They think about tranquility, peace. They think, what does tranquility, peace mean? It means that the body is at rest. The body, you know, you're sitting on the beach, sipping a beer.
Pina colada.
He's relaxed. He's chilling. So he says that really that's not real menucha. On the contrary, when the body relaxes too much, that causes mental stress and mental confusion. Because what happens is that if you get accustomed to having peace of mind only when your body is relaxed, so then in a situation where you can't be relaxed, you got to be doing something, you're busy, you're stressed out, your mind can't take it, you're not calm. Because the way you're living is that for your mind to be at rest and for your mind to stay, let's say, focused and be at rest, your body has to be also at rest. So it turns out that really you're not your mind, you're not achieving a state that it's easy for your mind to be at rest. You don't have real menucha. Your mind is only going to have menucha in as much as your guf has menucha. And since it's very difficult in life, as life progresses, for your guf to have long periods of menucha, so it's very difficult for you to maintain a state of mental menucha, of mental, you know, calmness, because your calmness and your relaxation is dependent on your body feeling relaxed and being at ease. It says Rabbi Yerucham, he says, and what is that similar to? He says it's like a person, so every person, you know, he feels he needs a break, he has to take a vacation, he's got to relax, he's got to, so his mind could rest, so he takes a break, takes a vacation, his mind can relax. So he says that's like a person who's giving salt water to a thirsty person to drink, because you're only increasing now the threshold of what it's going to take for your mind to relax. It's going to take more and more and more and more physical relaxation in order to be able to achieve relaxation of mental relaxation. Says Rabbi Yerucham, the real way to achieve true mental relaxation is that you have mental relaxation, you're able to focus your mind and be at peace, even though your body is totally stressed out and physically you're constantly active. It's by breaking your body and achieving mental relaxation, that's how you can have real menucha. So he says, that's the pshat over here, in that the Torah was given in the Midbar, and that's the pshat over here in the Psukim by us. He says, what's the pshat in how you have real menucha? You have real menucha, he says, if a person just focuses in his mind, like the Mesillas Yesharim says, that what is the main thing a person has to keep in mind? What is his objective in life? What is his purpose in life? So if that's what you have in mind, then that will keep you stay focused and you won't get distracted and be off track because of the different things that come up in life, the different situations that you're in. Says Rabbi Yerucham, and that's the pshat. He says, also we see this when you train a soldier. He says, when you train a soldier, the most important thing for a soldier to succeed in battle is that he should be able to mentally focus. He should be able to mentally be able to concentrate and be able to be in control. So how do they train a soldier? They don't give a soldier time off at the beach to relax so that this way his mind will be able to focus. Faket! The way you train a soldier is you wake him up 5 o'clock in the morning, run here, run there, do this, do that. But at the same time, keep in mind what your mission in life is, even though you're doing all these other things. Right? Then you'll be successful as a soldier. When you'll be in battle, you'll be able to succeed. But if the only way you're able to focus is by relaxing and chilling out, so you're going to fail as a soldier, because when it comes down to it, in battle, so much is going to be going on, you won't be able to relax. So you have to be able to learn how to focus even when a lot of stuff is going on. That's how you train a soldier. Says Rabbi Yerucham, that's the pshat also in being a Ben Torah, being someone who's learning Torah. You have to be able to, even though there are a lot of things going on, to be able to have that mental focus. This is my main objective, and that's my focus. Says Rabbi Yerucham, that's the pshat over here in these psukim, that it says, because the pasuk is really very difficult, it says that Yisachar saw the tranquility, so therefore he decided to carry a burden. I mean, it makes no sense. If you see tranquility, you want tranquility, so chill out! What are you carrying a burden for? Right? Says Rabbi Yerucham, it's this idea. The way to achieve real tranquility, peace of mind, is that you're able to have that peace of mind and that focus despite the fact that you're carrying a burden. And that's the pshat over here in this pasuk. So Mitzvah Shem, we should all, everyone in his own situation, whether you're in yeshiva, you're not in yeshiva, you're like me, you know, you're in yeshiva but you're married, you have a family, you know, every person in life, they have this, you know, when you were in yeshiva, you guys were lucky, you were zocha, you had a chance to chill and learn. But now you're ready at a stage that it's getting a little more difficult, and it's only going to get more and more and more and more and more difficult as life progresses. You know, if more Baruch Hashem, good things to be worried about and be involved in. So this is a very important message. Vayar menucha ki toiv, hayet shich my lispo. Good job. Keep the sheet. It's very nice. Let's go through it inside.